every day, every week, news about the economy and the numbers it's generating moves the markets and changes people's feelings about it.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Money Life's Economy Watch starts your Monday by looking at the economic news from last week and what to watch for in the week ahead.
I feel happy! I feel happy!
Well, no matter how you feel about it, it's the economic news that has people's attention and will keep them talking about it all week.
Now, we're talking business. Let's talk business.
Talk is cheap. Perhaps a test of thy faith.
It's Money Life's Economy Watch.
Shut up and start talking.
Not only will I start talking, but I'll be talking with one of my favorite folks to gauge the economy with. His name is Doug Roberts, and he is the chief investment strategist for Channel Capital Research. And he's also the author of Follow the Fed to Investment Success. And the Fed is not only important in the realm of his book and his forecast, but in the realm of what he does, because he is one of the most astute observers out there on the Federal Reserve. Now, if you want more information, it's channelcapitalresearch.com. He's on Twitter at Doug S. Roberts. Doug Roberts, welcome back to Money Life.
Chuck, thanks for having me back. Now, it's great to be here.
Now, the part of my audience that doesn't know you well or doesn't know the inner workings of your firm well doesn't know that basically when we get towards the middle of the month, that's when you issue your monthly market commentaries. And you have just issued one, your subscribers should have been getting it this weekend or even possibly today, where we are looking at things and you sort of talk about how bipolar the Fed and the economy have gotten. Explain what you mean, because that's a big part of what we're going to be facing going forward.
Well, in essence, Chuck, what you have is really there is not just an economy, there's two economies. There's really the upper end, often referred to as the top 1%, but actually, if you look at it, it's really the top 0.01%, and then basically the rest of the economy. And what you found is with all the monetary easing, with all the quantitative easing that's gone on by the Fed and now the ECB, that's tended to do very well with people who have capital assets, basically people who have large investment portfolios. You've seen that with the rise in the stock market over the last several years since the beginning of the Great Recession in really 2007, 2008, the stock market has recovered from that and actually exceeded and gone on to new highs. But if you look at the rest of the economy, let's look at the employment numbers, they still tend to be relatively spotty because, in essence, all the activity that the Fed has done has really helped people with capital assets, and generally that top 0.1% has the largest amount of capital assets, while really the people who rely more on their labor, more on their income, have had a more difficult time and really haven't recovered from the crash of 2008.
How much of this is something that you think plays out short term, or how much of this is great? We can all recognize that we have these two economies, this bipolar economy, but it's not going to make any difference, and we're still going to see just status quo till eventually rates go up.
Yeah, I think it's really more till you have some type of structural reforms in the economy, in taxes, in a variety of other things. But right now, what I think it's going to be really more of is status quo. And you've kind of seen that right now where the Fed has talked about the end of quantitative easing, which has really been balanced out by basically the introduction and the acceleration of quantitative easing in the ECB and in Japan and some of the other modern countries of the world with their central banks. So right now, you know, you're starting to see with this weakness in the employment numbers that you had in the last payroll, people are starting to think, okay, quantitative easing may be ending, but on the Fed, there is going to probably be some type of a backtrack where the Fed, you know, talks about conventional monetary tightening and postpones that out for the indefinite future. Now, that's really good for basically people who are invested in the stock market. It doesn't really make much of a difference for really that other economy, because at that point it doesn't create jobs, it doesn't do anything to basically help people's finances in those areas, because most of it really affects people who can access the market directly as opposed to people who go from banks, where the banks have even become more conservative because some of the reforms they're enacting right now in the banking laws and their requirements for capital assets as well.
You talk about in your commentary how you are anticipating a correction within a continuing rally.
Yeah, I think there's a distinct possibility of that, because right now, if you look at the Fed itself, you're starting to really have an evolution into two camps, kind of the doves and the hawks. The doves and the hawks kind of had a truce over the last several months where everybody said, okay, unless really the economy falls off a cliff, we're going to end quantitative easing. And that looks like still to be the picture over the next one or two meetings as well. But at that point, really the hawks, in return for getting the doves to agree to that, have said we'll really postpone any discussion for conventional monetary tightening. As you said earlier, a rise in basic interest rates until much later. Now that we're starting to approach the end of quantitative easing, that subject is back on the table. And really the hawks are becoming more vocal. You saw that really in the last meeting, you know, with a dissent, you know, at that point by a person on the Fed, and also with, you know, editorials in the Wall Street Journal by Richard Fisher, one of the hawks, talking about monetary tightening. Now, right now, the hawks, you know, have really not given that up, and they're starting to get more and more nervous about lower interest rates, mm-hmm. that it could be a latent cause of inflation. The doves themselves are saying, look, if you look at the employment numbers, you don't see any of that popping up. And if you look at the inflation numbers, particularly oil prices, you don't see any of that happening. So therefore, you know, given the uncertainty really with the so-called broader economy, it is not wise to tighten conventionally. So there's a possibility that this quiet dissent on the board may now become much more vocal. I believe that probably the doves will prevail, but it could be a messy battle.
Well, and as you pointed out in your commentary and here, in part of the mess is something that investors will experience even if the rally can continue. Doug, this has been great. I wish we had more time, so we're just going to have you back again soon.
Love to be back, Chuck. Always great to talk with you.
Doug Roberts is the Chief Investment Strategist for Channel Capital Research. If you want more information, it's channelcapitalresearch.com. If you want to learn more about Doug, and by the way, again, his book was Follow the Fed to Investment Success. You can follow Doug on Twitter. He's at Doug S. Roberts, and his website is DougRoberts.com. Well, we've gotten off to a great rolling start on the Monday, September the 15th edition of Money Life. There is much more to go, so stick around. We'll be right back.